Okay, if we could please continue on the Ortman motion on Article 3 and just restate what page you're starting from again, please. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair,
or Ms. Pollock, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, we're on page 9, line 25.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is a modification from this, primarily the Senate provision, which allows sales tax exemption for capital equipment materials. It's phased in beginning in 2013, and it applies for 3 years to 2014 and 2015. The way that it works is if the purchaser who's applying for the exemption employed 80 full-time employees and did not have more than $1 million in gross revenues or $2.5 million if the business was a professional or technical service and was not owned by such business, those businesses would be eligible for the upfront sales capital equipment sales tax exemption. And then in calendar year 2016, the upfront exemption is available to all purchasers. Section 5 modifies the sales tax exemption for purchases by qualified data centers. First, it reduces the threshold for the amount of purchases and the amount of time in which those purchases must be made. So it reduces from $50 million to $30 million within a three-year period instead of a two-year period. It also reduces the requirement for the amount of square feet that have been substantially refurbished, and we provide some clarifying language on what substantially refurbished means. So to include installation of certain equipment or computer software, environmental control and energy efficiency improvements, and building improvements. And we also provide a definition of computer software to mean software that is loaded or utilized at the data center, including maintenance, licensing, and software customization.
Mr. Chair, sections 6 and 7 are house provisions, and they relate to the sales tax exemption for St. John's University to essentially preserve an existing exemption after they reorganized their governing structure.
Ms. Pollock?
Mr. Chair, Section 8 is sales tax exemption for purchases by qualified nursing homes and boarding care homes. The homes must be licensed under Section 144A, and there are some purchases that the exemption does not apply to, which are listed under paragraph B on page 13. And this was a Senate provision, the sales tax exemption for nursing homes.
Mr. Chair, this is really a clarification of existing law, and it's making sure that none of these existing nursing homes lose their exemption due to the Under the Rainbow property tax court case.
Ms. Dalton?
I'm sorry.
Ms.
Mr. Chair, Section 9 is also language relating to the sales tax language for rent-to-own and lease-to-own used vehicles. It just provides for the collecting of revenues to be applied to the transportation funds.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Section 10 is the House provision related to the use of the Rochester sales tax that was authorized last year. Basically, Rochester is being required to share $5 million of its money for economic development purposes in surrounding communities. We've added to the language a city with a population of at least 1,000 within 25 miles of Rochester that is closer to Rochester than any other large city. Basically, the only city that qualifies is the city of Wanamingo. Section 11 is the House provision related to the Rochester lodging tax that's increasing the rate from 5% to 7%. Sections 7 and, I'm sorry, sections 12 and 13. Sure, I got these right. Sections 12 and 13 relate to the central cities or the St. Cloud area sales taxes, and these were House provisions, although the Senate did have the same provisions in their policy technical bills, essentially allowing them to extend their taxes for another 20 years with a vote, with approval by voters at a general election. Section 14 is... again, a provision that's in the House bill and in the Senate policy and technical bill, basically modifying the use of the Clearwater sales tax. This is related to the fact that the reference to a city improvement plan actually was never adopted by the city, so this lists the specific projects. And Section 15 is the repealer. This is the repealer from the House bill. It repeals the safe harbor provision related to the accelerated payments that were eliminated in Section 1, and it also repeals the 1% Rochester food and beverage tax, which is being replaced with the increased lodging tax. The only difference is an effective date change to make the Rochester one effective the day following final enactment.
Questions on Senator Ortman's motion to move Article 3? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Article 4.
We all heard that.
Oh, you heard that?
That's a mess.
That's what bill they're working on.
Just briefly. Nice. Thank you.
Senator Ortman moves Article 4, local development. If House and Senate staff could please come forward and start with Article 4. Mr. Michael, Mr. Sylvia, welcome to the conference committee. Who would like to start? Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are a number of provisions that, starting with Section 1, Section 3, Section 4, Section 5, Section 6, 7, and 10, 11, oh, excuse me, not 11, 10, 12, 13, and 14, that are the House and the Senate had these mining reclamation projects for cities with gravel pits, essentially, that wish to redevelop them. The House had two special law provisions. The Senate had a general law provision. What's in this bill is a revised version of the general law provision that the Senate had, with a couple of changes. What the main, when you look at it, it looks very different because it's been distributed throughout the appropriate parts of the tax increment statute. The main changes that were made from what the Senate had is that there's a requirement that the tax increment plan include the references that expenditures be made from soils deficiency districts within the mining reclamation area, and that the cities retain the documentation documenting that the mining reclamation project area meets the requirements of the statute for the length of the district plus 2 years, and there's a 10-year limit put on how long a district may be designated in that project area after those findings were made by the city. Section 2.
Section
Mr. 2. Mr. Sylvia.
Mr. Chair and members, as a Senate version, of what this does is modifies definition of a redevelopment district for purposes of the TIF statutes. For purposes of redevelopment district, there must be parcels consisting of 70% of the area be occupied by streets, building, or other materials. And current law states that more than 50% of the buildings be considered structurally substandard. What this section does is modify the definition so that instead of more than 50%, it would be 50% or more, so that a parcel containing two buildings would be considered structurally substandard for purposes of the redevelopment statute.
Mr. Michael.
Sections 8 and 9, we're on page, starting on page 7, are from the House Bill. The House Bill extended the 2010 jobs provision for another 18 months, and that's included in the bill. Section 11 is the next provision. The House and Senate had similar provisions. This provision on Section 11 related to use of surplus increments for...
Excuse me, Mr. Michael. We are in temporary recess. I'm going to have Senator Ortman have somebody introduce an abortion amendment, so we'll have at least 2 hours.